Welcome back, everybody in BC WrestlePod land out there. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is the Just Three Gents podcast. We are here with the professor and myself, JBL, here to run through AEW Dynamite from the 10th of April, 2024. And yeah, as you can see, we're having fun already. This is great. You'll figure out why we did after this runs, because that is going to be the blooper at the end of the thing anyways. But if you haven't been with us before, basically what's going to happen is Professor and I are going to go down and run down kind of the match card of AEW Dynamite, talk about each of the matches, and talk about our thoughts of those and kind of how we felt about that overall. What we're saying here is we do not have facts. We are not experts in this respect. We are experts in our fields of theatrical production, of acting, of improv, and also our love of this business. So we're going to give you an opinion that's based in fact around that, but might stray in a few different places or just some tangents we don't know about. So thank you for joining us here. Thank you for being dragged in here, kicking and screaming by whatever Lovecraftian algorithm dragged you here. We really do enjoy having you there. If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button right down below. Get the alert bell so you can see all of our different content across the week. And of course, if you could follow us on social media, drop a comment down there at BC WrestlePod. We'd love you to see you there. We've got a Patreon for live watch alongs. We just spent an entire hell weekend of going over everything to do with WrestleMania and everything else. So it's all up there on Patreon. Professor and I are working on something hopefully soon to be there for it as well. That'll be fun to kind of get going. And yeah, of course, you can also see us in person May 18th and 19th down in Middletown Township, New Jersey, as we go down to the armpit of America to fill out some wrestling forums, get a table, and actually see people we like. Come give us a hug. Come say hi. We can show you our new logo, which hopefully will be on this video, if not sometime afterward. And just enjoy the show. I think that's all I have to do for
housekeeping. Folks have been coming to the lives. We've been getting comments and folks interacting. It's nice to know you're out there and you see
us. We've only canceled like three or four of them because they've been really, you know, uppity about certain things. But, you know, that's pretty good. And we know who you are and we'll be coming to see you later. But we don't have Mikey tonight. We do not have our jefe. He bowed out to allow Adolfo to jump back in, who had missed most of the weekend. But Adolfo, rightfully so, is at home in New Jersey taking care of his house that got hit by the earthquake, so he is, you know, cleaning up some things. So it'll be just you and me tonight, John. It'll be just us trying to keep it under an hour.
And we will not be going off the rails. We were going to stick to exactly what we need to do.
Exactly. We drive the bus. We don't get on rail cars. Anyhow, that's even worse. We start off the show kind of with a big bang. We were thinking we're getting Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes in the big match that was going to be scheduled in the first part. Joe gets to the top of the ramp and is immediately assaulted by Swerve from behind with a drop kick to the back of the head. Not pulling any punches as we start this show, I see.
No, and Swerve got ridiculous height on that. I had to watch it twice because I was like, wait, did he jump off of something? Did he?
I thought he vaulted off the ring or like something. But
oh, that was wild. Sort of an interesting gear shift. We didn't even have any momentum going, and all of a sudden it was like, and boom, and now we're just like, oh, we're off and running.
In medias res.
This sort of set the tone for the whole night in the sense of that question mark face. That sort of, what did I? Wait, huh? Huh? What does that mean? Sort of thing. I was reading a few other reports and folks that also covered Dynamite throughout the day, and everyone kept running to the internet, it seems like every 30 seconds, to be like, what the internet just say? What just happened here? Like, things are just exploding.
I can't make my own opinion here. I've got to check what other people have said on there. What is Ollie Davis saying about it?
What do I do? I thought Samoa might have gotten hurt going off that ramp, because that was a bit of a clunky fall they all kind of had rattling, but Swerve kind of cradled his neck a little bit, but
he got him there, but then he put him through the table really awkwardly, too. Like, his head, right. It was like Athena at Supercard of Honor, which just really not through the table enough, and just, I don't know.
There's this theme in both in AEW and WWE and some other promotions now. Well, let's cover it with a black sheet, just so no one knows what it is. And for some reason, that's starting to make it worse. Mm-hmm. It's sort of covering whatever metal ridiculous barricade that was with just a black sheet and then throwing Swerve into it was like, you just killed a man. What the hell was that? Like, that was rough. Well,
it kills their depth perception when they're running around because the lights are on in different places. It kills the believability of it. And in general, everyone's in more danger. Hooray! That's what we're looking for, is danger in our wrestling. I don't know. It was very strange to have happen. But then we have the ending of that. Basically, they're going to reschedule the match, have it later in the evening. That's basically what it's going to be. Okay. Pretty easy that way. I don't know. I'm giving you time here. However, we jump from that quickly to Renee being backstage as she is reporting on trying to get a word in with Orange Cassidy, figure out what's going on with this whole thing with Trent Beretta, as we saw Trent betray Best Friends last week. And right. She still can't get him to come out there, but he's a man of few words, and he's apparently going to discuss it later on. Not tonight, but later on this week.
Not tonight. It was sort of like later on, like, what? I like this package. It's sort of, not that I didn't feel anything when we saw the betrayal, but this definitely had more of that, I don't want to say soap opera, I'm saying that too much. This got me, this package. I don't know why, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I was reinvested in the thing that I already knew, which doesn't always happen with these reflection packages, right? Like, sometimes it's sort of, yeah, I get it, meh.
It's, I believe, them adding in the fact of the internet exclusive of Chris Statlander speaking to Trent and being whispered something that made her pause.
Yeah.
So there's something involved in this. But she said, we all said, was, in front of Sue? You did this in front of Sue? And like, yeah, still.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I hope Sue comes out with a chair someday and just rocks.
Sue needs to come out with a chair, and then we can all be intrigued way does she batches her own son very lightly in the head. And anyhow.
Bakes him into a thing of cookies, and great.
Bakes him into a thing of cookies, yes. Yeah, it's a full Grimm brother, like, you know, fairy tale at that point. She comes out in a giant shoe. And anyway. I don't know. It's all flowing together because we're taking our time here because we're getting to the first real match of the night. It is a big match overall. It's for the TNT Championship as Penta is taking on Adam Copeland, as he set up last week. This started off big again. I feel like they were referencing WrestleMania by having Penta hit his finisher, kind of like Drew hit the Claymore right off the bat on Seth. And then this was a grind for me. Like, through two commercial breaks, it was really slow. Like, and not in a good kind of way. It was like, just slow.
What's hard, and I hesitate to say this, they both kind of looked their age.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that they haven't turned back the clock and that they aren't athletic and they don't go 100 miles an hour. Something about this match had downshifted some. And now, looking back, kind of watching it today, thinking about it before you and I got together, I almost think they had a sense of, no matter what we do, we're overshadowed tonight by the video package that's showing after our match.
Well, and think about what Adam Copeland just did. Like, he went out there, basically, some would say, on Tony Khan's orders or his own thing, did this rah-rah speech, and then now I've got to go and have this match I set up last week, but you basically have taken every bit of credibility I had, shoved it down my throat, and now I've got to go out and defend this thing. And he's a professional. Everything's about it. Where I've seen things online saying he's gotten too old, he should have retired now, like he's too far gone. I don't believe that part of it, but I think that his mind wasn't on it tonight. You're right. No, it just wasn't there.
He was definitely heady, did a little off. Some of the spots they took a little bit of time to get into, which was fine. I kind of love seeing Adam do lucha stuff. Like, that's fun. But you're right. This was, oh my God, there's a 10-minute gap in the middle, and the fact that I can say 10-minute gap in the middle, where it just drags and they're breathing heavy.
Yeah, it's not like they're posturing. They're just out of sync,
and that's unfortunate. However, this kind of picked up after Adam does that power bomb on the apron, which looked violent.
The power slam on the apron. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
The power slam. Like, that moment was like, whoa, that just happened. And then we kind of got some momentum there, and then they drove hard to the finish. I don't know what was off. It was alarming in a way. Like, Adam Copeland's had this title, what, 2 weeks?
A couple weeks.
And now, all of a sudden like that, it's this, you're heady pumping the brakes thing.
With the countdown clock to the Bucks thing, too, like, overhead ominously the entire match.
That's the only thing I can think of, is sort of this feeling of, like, there's this thing coming that no one's got. Okay, now I have to. So part of me wants to go full. He was in his head. He said this positive thing. They kind of negated him by doing this. He was overruled by folks younger than him to do this. So that might have stung a little bit. But that's the only reason I could think of. Because it's not like he did a bad match in protest. And Penta's going all in. Penta's fighting his ass off in here, too.
Yeah,
there were some really snug shots at the top of this. Like, they went for it. It's not like they mailed it in. Something was not here.
It was a dance that they seemed to have rehearsed the day of. it wasn't a dance that they had like known the Fair. Pieces of or could put things together. This was a little off. They also, I mean, justice for, you know, Alex Abrahantes to eating that spear to save Penta. Like, come on.
Ooh,
but like,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Like, he doesn't get much, but still. Also, you know, my one props to Taz this entire night, because it's the only good line he had. Charleston, West Virginia is the Quebec City of West Virginia, isn't it? Isn't it, Tony?
That was a funny line. Commentary was in a weird headspace, too.
Well, I wonder why. You look at their faces after the night. Like, yeah, no.
We'll talk about it, but they wore their emotions on their face after that. You know, that interesting sharpshooter modification, as they said, actually looked kind of cool to me anyway. I didn't hate that.
The execution?
Is that the execution?
Or the educator, one of the two. He called it something, edge of something, but he couldn't call it that because it was.
Oh my gosh, maybe
like
I just
prism trap reversed. But yeah.
I just haven't seen it in forever, I guess.
He didn't use it that much. So that's the big thing. But maybe edge ends up retaining. Penta goes down, lights go down, and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be House of Black because they're going to be fighting each other. It's going to be somebody right. big. No, it's Julia Hart appearing out of nowhere. I'm like, where is this going? What's happening? Big Birdie King comes in for a beatdown.
I kind of want to see Julia Hart just like do something. It's Julia Hart. Stunner. Like, what on Adam Cole? Like, out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that a little bit later. But then who comes to the save? You think it's probably you know, Briscoe, or it's going to be, you know, Eddie Kingston coming down to save his butt. No, it's Willow Nightingale coming down to save Adam Copeland, and gets sort of misted by Julie at the time.
What happened?
She missed her face, or she hit her mid-mist and it hit her kind of in the face. So she looked very cool.
I didn't even see. It was all of a sudden, it was just drooling and kind of on the face, and commentary was like, oh, looks like there's mist on her face. I was like, when?
When did that even happen? She shoved Julia into Brody King's arms, and at that point, she backed up and probably, it came out. So,
did she accidentally swallow it? Like,
I'm assuming. Like, because of that, got Brody King out of the, and then Adam Copeland got rid of Brody King. But it's just like, Willow Nightingale, interesting.
Yeah.
Ugh. But we'll get to that later, because that is explained in a bit, which is kind of fun. But that was a long interchange. That honestly could have been shorter. Probably should have been shorter.
Yeah.
And didn't do any favors for anybody involved, especially not commentary, because they were terrible most of the night. It's basically what it was. But they weren't as terrible as the next thing up until the end, because we cut backstage. And Lionhook. I can't say that. It's just it's terrible.
did you throw up something?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little mist got stuck. But Chris Jericho is backstage with Hook and Shibata, and I'm sitting there going, they dragged Shibata into this?
Yeah, poor Shibata.
What the? That poor Shibata. Talking about the fact they're in a trios match tonight against Shane Taylor Productions, who they lost to or almost lost to last week, and their buddy Anthony Ogogo, who's been gone forever, and Jericho interrupting Hook to basically lay out the game plan for a man like Shibata and saying, be at the learning tree. I'm like, Shibata's been wrestling as long as he had, if not a little less, and he's better, but the saving grace was Shibata's Duolingo translator just being able to pull that off.
So funny. I was dying. That was Shibata stole the whole thing. Didn't even have to talk.
But his face was perfect.
He has perfect stone face.
Yeah.
That for folks, you might not know this. This sort of dry humor from Japan, like when it's done well, if you've ever seen it, or it's actually in a lot of horror movies. It's hysterical. Just
it hits you like, because it sneaks up on you like in a horror film, and just lays it right into you when you least expect it. But this is going, you know, bet. What the heck is wrong with that guy?
I like your necklace. I was like, what?
And she's like, thank you. It was a family heirloom. So good.
I love that it reads his thoughts. It's such a good translator. Like, it was perfect.
Oh, that's great. Pre-recorded voice, always good.
But yeah, I didn't need to hear Chris Jericho. I didn't.
No.
The rumor is, and I heard this reported too, that Jericho's going to turn heel and lean on the fact that nobody likes him right now.
What?
Is that why he's growing the evil goatee? No.
Why he's wearing the vests again.
I mean, but no one's going to buy that Lionhook t-shirt. Like, man, come on.
Yeah, then don't. Buy the Hook t-shirt. Buy the Shibata t-shirt. Don't buy the Jericho t-shirt.
Such a strange angle. I don't know.
It's Jericho feeling he's needing to be used. He's going full Hogan. It certainly seems like he's going full Hogan to a point.
Yeah. He was never as big as Hogan, though.
Which is why he's not fighting for the title constantly, but he's always getting his screen time.
It's almost like someone who thinks they're as big as that 1980 whatever Hogan treating others lesser, and they're looking at him like, you're just Chris Jericho. What are you doing?
Well, and in another set of hands, that might have read as comedy, like, oh yeah, he's telling Shibata to be at the orange, would have found it funny. But because of how Jericho has treated people and the way Jericho's come through with this,
right,
everyone's just not, it's not buying into it. There's no buying in. We think you're a piece of crap. Like, don't do this.
Especially, and we'll get there when we get there, but when you go to the match, Shibata cleans house.
Yeah.
Shibata's the only thing that works.
Oh my God.
Humans.
We'll go to commercial though. We'll jump to commercial, John. Let's get out of there. Let's come back to commercial. Luckily, I didn't have to watch the commercials. And we have Briscoe and Eddie Kingston kind of going over how they're feeling after their match. And they're in better spirits than I thought they would be after, you know, having that bit of a really brutal fight at at Supercard of Honor, where Briscoe bled as much as Eddie Guerrero did in that famous match there. It was all over the place. Yeah, so
the clips I've seen, like, horrifying.
When this is not even spoiling, go back and watch it, but when you look at when he's out on the ringside area and he barely moves his head and there's a film on the layers of blood that have already gushed out of his head onto the mat that are now soaking into that mat, it's eerie. And then doesn't make it missing front teeth, but still. They go on, they're not doing so hot. They don't know what's going on, but they're happy to be here. And even though Eddie's upset, he's also really happy that Mark got to win it on the exact day that his brother won it, which is great. And Adam Copeland comes in because they're talking about like taking on their opponents at Dynasty. Copeland's breathing, doing your favorite thing, breathing out of breath, being asked about a promo. Did he run back from the ring or did he just do this as he was there, like jumping up and down to get out of breath? Because this couldn't have been like right after.
Well, the mist on Willow's face made it narrative, right? Like we had, okay, this moment before just happened. So it couldn't have been, we would have known if they shot it beforehand. This must have happened right then.
Had to have been. So live shot, they do that. Copeland's talking about what's coming up there and that, also that Julia Hart came and ruined stuff up. We're going to go ahead and he's starting to talk about what's going to happen next. Stokely interrupts him. God love you, Stokely Hathaway. He's like, Willow's going to take you on for the TNT Championship. Do that open challenge. You make it happen. And I was like, yes, this is intergender match. Let's do it. It's called. This would be perfect. No, they're going to do a mixed tag match against Julia Hart and Brody King versus Willow and Adam Copeland on Collision. To see this match. It's going to be so good.
That might make me watch Collision. Like that might do it.
I didn't know. It was so neat in that respect. There was a couple of other things I wrote down. Like Burger King and he was sorry for saying to Eddie Kingston that he was only ate Burger King and smoked cigarettes and stuff like that.
I'm sorry that I told you. You smell like menthols and Burger King. Are we cool now? He's just walking away like, what are you talking about?
But he comes back in, and that's why I would love if it was live. He's just like, what is going on? So thank you for being real about that. Not like just keep walking away as if it doesn't happen. That was perfect.
That was a
good palate cleanser there. A little bit of mint and menthol in your mouth to kind of get you easy into the next bit.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a clove kid, unfortunately. That'll tell you where I did stuff.
We'll talk at the end.
We will. We always do. we're stalling here because we don't want to talk about this next part.
No, we don't because it's awkward and weird and we might go full tangent if we're not careful.
It already went full tangent. So
yeah, it did.
As you may have realized, this was the reason that a lot of new people tuned in. And as this rating showed, this 15-minute segment and the segment that followed were the reason people were on and then kind of left. Tony Khan had said earlier in the week he always wanted to and finally could broadcast the CCTV footage from Wembley of the brawl between Jack Perry and CM Punk. This is after a week where CM Punk tore AEW a new one on Errol Hawani's podcast. Then followed up, as you said, by the Adam Copeland promo, rah-rah, get behind, let's all be fans. And now the Bucks come out to talk about their match with FTR at Dynasty. And this is the framework we're going to use to put this footage into context.
Yeah. Which is just weird. what? Okay, and we talked about this a little before we started.
Well, some of it before too, yeah.
Like, to try and take this and kayfabe it into a rivalry makes a little bit of sense, but not enough to warrant doing this, because it's obviously the backfiring of this whole thing has been that there's been mute reaction and nobody went righteous yay or nay. Everyone went, that's it. It's not exactly the Sabruta film, right? Like, it's not oh, I can see back and to the left. Like, this was just, oh, wait, what does that mean?
What it ended up doing in the building, from what the reports are, is that the crowd then started chanting CM Punk. Not only during the video, but at the EVPs afterwards, which is not what Tony wanted.
Not what you wanted.
You have now said, and ostensibly, if they're setting up Jack Perry through this to be a heel as well, you are making WWE's guy that's tearing your thing a new one a babyface when you want him to be the bad guy? Or I don't understand why this was released, because if it had something juicy on there, like Punk overtly beat up Jack Perry, like fully assaulted him, instead of a choke that was broken up by three other guys, a very upset Chris Hero, who has now made his AEW debut on CCTV footage, and a very nonchalant Malakai Black looking for the coffee table so he can get some more creamer. Like, I don't know what else you could have pulled from this.
You kind of see CM Punk shove. You see him go behind him and grab him, kind of like what choke as a front choke type thing. Samoa Joe comes up. They kind of let each other go. Jack Perry's not aggressively running for CM Punk, but it's kind of like, no, get off of me. What just happened? Like, even he's a little confused, at least from where I'm looking.
Yeah,
CM Punk just wants to fight everybody.
Yeah, or have a reason then, because he jumps the barricade toward the things. Yeah.
But there was nothing there that was so decisive. And like, to go full football, like, okay, show me a reason to overturn this call. I saw nothing. And I've seen in jobs I've had, I've seen people get fired for less. But to make it sound like he did this egregious threat, like they built this up, like CM Punk was backstage, had an altercation, did this, did that. We let him go. With cause. It doesn't quite math in what we saw.
No. And then on top of that, you had the Bucks on, then saying, well, we all know that FTR is friends with CM Punk. Okay, here's the first shoehorn. So obviously they must have had something or known something to do about this and told him to do it to throw us off our games and put our EVP caps on, shoehorn number two. So obviously we need to put an asterisk on that win at All Out that they beat us because we weren't thinking straight. I'm going to say this out loud, having watched the kayfabe on that night. You played the roles that you had been doing for weeks up until perfectly. There was no setup there. And so now you're trying to find a reason to make this relevant about FTR when you don't need that. And that, yes, you're running into a problem that this rivalry has gotten a bit stale. You've done it repeatedly. So you're trying to find new blood. But this isn't the new blood to grab. Like, you had the perfect thing going with the EVP. It's like, we feel you're disrespecting what we have built here. You are not part of what we want in this thing. Therefore, as EVPs, we are going to kick your asses, take the titles away from you, because you don't deserve them. Whoa! Hello! It's been there. But when your nice guy, non-business-minded owner feels the need to pull a page out of both the Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon playbook and play, Monday Night Wars Part 4... That's telling.
Yeah, that's what this felt like to me, was that we were back in Monday Night Wars, not the good half. The first half of Monday Night Wars was kind of, in my opinion, I gotta read that book. Apparently the book about it's really, really good, and I have not read it.
It is. The audiobook's great too.
I gotta go find that and look at it. In my opinion, there's a bit, arguably the first half of the Monday Night Wars, where it was sort of, hey, being chippy with each other makes us better. Folks tune in to both of them. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, that's the sort of tide rising all boats thing. Hey, these are two companies that take shots at each other, but it's always an inside joke. And if you get the inside joke, now I want to watch next week to catch more. When it kind of spills over into taking direct shots at you know who, you're kind of ahead of the joke, as we say in improv and comedy land, and now it falls on the audience in a very, very different way. and this the whole time felt like they were ahead of the joke. Sort of like, we're going to show you this revisionist history thing, and we're going to show you that we were right all along. You see that? Obviously. And then nothing that maths with what you showed.
I want to take your analogy a bit further.
Sure.
The punchline was told 4 months ago when CM Punk showed up at Survivor Series. The punchline of the joke was already said. And now this audience, knowing that punchline from 4 months ago, is having the joke explained to them in detail of how we got there.
Yeah.
Expecting that it might change the outcome or change your view, maybe laugh again at a different flavor that they thought was in the punchline, instead of just letting it be the punchline, having somebody else that's starting this stuff and like either being the bigger company or not. I mean, they were in a kind of a tough spot here where like, do you fire back at him at all or do right. you not? And you, and if you do fire back and do you put this stuff out there with the risk that this happens, or do you sit on it and people say, show us the footage. Like they couldn't win, but I feel but they still lost.
I think it's almost, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's absolutely right. And I don't even think that it's, I think it's worse in that there's nothing.
Yeah.
Right. If they had lost, if they say they do all this and we see the opposite, we see Jack Perry start it, obviously, and CM Punk trying not to engage, and then something happens, and then CM Punk's react. And then we all go, wow, it was actually that all along. Well, now we're in the inverse. This was just neutral.
Yeah.
And you, which like you hurt, you yeah. bored us.
But on top of this, as we talked about for the last couple of weeks, the full thing of AEW has been looking like they were moving toward that thing of, well, we got to get back to what makes us different. They've been doing more wrestling spots. There's been less mm-hmm. promos. It's really been a different product. Mm-hmm. And that's like, even in the rah-rah speech and that thing, it still felt like we are showcasing why we are different. And they've been losing viewers as it's been happening because people didn't have the time to grasp onto that. Was this a grab to go, no, wait, look, we're still here. We're good. But also we have these cool things. Maybe if you just come for this one thing, you'll watch everything else. Is it a bad marketing ploy at that point? Whereas we talked about, it was better they were punching up while WWE was punching down, because Punk was always Punk. What Punk was doing was kicking people in the balls. That's all he wanted to do.
Yeah. I think if you are the champion, you have to come to me. Right? Like if yeah. I'm setting the tone, you have to come to me. And now they're sort of fishing. They're doing it very differently. So if they took the high road of, no, we're going to do these things, you can come to us, that then they could have streamlined through this. Instead, they went, no, yeah, this, yeah, that. They're grasping at the wrong things.
They're coming to WWE.
Yes. And
which is reflected,
we'll see in the next promo.
Well, not the next
they
promo.
Do it again. Well,
next promo was
right.
FTR. FTR had to respond live, which was even worse. They had to come out. They ran down the Bucks the best they could, tried to make it real as well, but also were like, you could hear the can promo lines and this to like force the connections of why this works together. Meanwhile, you look at commentary and Excalibur's trying to set this up. He's floundering. Taz is not looking at him. He's looking off and just being like dissociating. And Tony Schiavone says it all. Hand is basically on face. He's just like, I knew it was coming and it was worse than I thought. And I can see in his eyes, I'm sitting next to Eric Bischoff as we're broadcasting Mick Foley winning the title. This is the same thing here. Or Vince Russo in the 2000s basically calling out all the backstage stuff. And why am I here? I'm pulling a paycheck. I thought I left this. I should have gone and worked for Vince. Like, seriously. Like, oh, yeah.
The only thing I can equate it to accurately, in my opinion, and you might understand, is if anyone knows anything about clown, like true clown, not birthday clown, but like it, like Italian comedia, clown,
comedic movement.
And it's like sitting, all these horrible things happen and you don't get to escape. You have to sit in it, in the pain and the awkward, and you don't get to leave. You got to sit in this horrible situation, and then we start laughing at you because you're in so much pain and you can't escape. Like,
and you're not allowed to react to it. It's all about forcing that neutral, because you're forcing neutral for a reason, and that's even funnier.
And they're dying laughing, but you are in pain sitting in the awkward. That's where we're going with AEW. And that's not where you want to go.
I wanted to turn my TV off at that point. I was like, I knew this was bad. And, you know, when Tony Schiavone is the physical embodiment of a Picard facepalm meme, that's when I have to, like, back away from this. Exactly. We move on, though. We've got to get out of this funk because it comes back later again. Like, this was the night of it where everything was just, it's CM Punk chants. It's bad. They shot themselves in both feet, basically.
I didn't catch it while I was watching it. Did they edit it out? I didn't hear them here.
They muted it.
Did they really?
In the building, there's fan video and stuff from when the video played, and also when the Bucks came out, and it's loud in that building. But even the golden boy that they brought in couldn't save them because Will Ospreay comes out. Renee's like, I gotta change gears. Renee's also feeling it, and you can see it. And Will Ospreay comes out and cuts one of the most impassioned promos I have ever heard. And you know what? Aside from what he said, delivered brilliantly.
Oh yeah.
And well, way more articulated than I've ever heard him. Like, he actually got some of the T's and D's in there. I was kind of surprised. But he is going to go off on his Dynasty opponent. But first, he has to go off on a few things, not naming anybody, but telling them, you know, like, just reminding them, like, you thought we could move too slow. You like to take shots at everybody else and tell them they can't do certain things. And I'm here to remind you, like, you have your head so far up someone's butt that you don't think I could be there for the grind. Meanwhile, you got your place where you're in this wrestling business by grinding on the boss's daughter. And Renee was like, I can't laugh at this. This is uncomfortable.
you see her catch her face? Her whole face goes,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He also took a veiled shot at Ariel Helwani in that one, too. Like, about, like, you know, going on podcasts to start crap with other people. Like,
yeah. And I'm a fan of Ariel Helwani, but now his podcast has always kind of had this reputation of that's the place you go to run your mouth, and this doesn't help Ariel either. It just kind of reaffirms you go there to talk a bunch of crap. I texted a wrestling buddy of mine who's watching, and he immediately said, we're back in the Monday Night Wars. And he went, wait, what do you mean? And I sent him, because it had already been clipped. Bam.
Yeah, exactly.
By the next commercial break. And I sent it to him and he went, oh my God, what? And then jumped back on Dynamite and caught up and just went, oh my God, we're right back. It's
This was better than that, though, in a lot of ways. Because this was not the joke's been set up, we're going to explain the joke. This was, here's a nostalgic throwback to, I'm going to veiled reference this person and also eviscerate them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, like, even with this, if then Triple H on Monday night or on Friday night came out and said something back, that's when we know that they're both that level of, like, super low. He's not going to do a damn thing. He doesn't care about Will Ospreay.
He doesn't have to. The fact Triple H being the heel he is probably relishing in the fact that I am in your head.
Yeah.
I am in your head rent free for the rest of your life. And he's going to love that. The McMahons are going to love that. Like, they're going to be like, yep, we got Will Ospreay, didn't we? We are in his brain. And there's nothing he can do about it because he will never work for us. Like, you know, like, that takes care of itself. I do think this was smooth. I love the way it kind of was built up. It was a little jarring and came from out of nowhere, which should have been, right?
He went to an 11 basically from nowhere.
Just boom. Like, I wasn't expecting that. I wonder how much of that was for the guys in the back who used to work for WWE. I wonder how much of that was a shot for, like, hey, you never got to say this to your boss. I'm going to say this to your former boss. And then throwing out a line that was just disturbing. Like, holy shit.
With the gyrations to match.
Yes, exactly. Like, it was nothing. Yeah. Like, God.
And then without even changing lanes or gears, jumps right to Bryan Danielson and heartfelt talks about, like, you are one of the greatest. You are the best in the measuring stick. And
absolutely,
I need to prove that I'm better than you because I am of a generation. The young are taking over and you need to go away.
Yeah. I mean,
and there's not much else to be said. I mean,
yeah.
Renee then wrinkled her nose at the end because obviously she knows about the Danielson thing. It was very cute. But, you know.
Very cute.
I don't like to talk about video packages that often, especially if it's video promos. They've been using them a lot more in AEW, which has been nice. But in general, I don't like to touch them. But I have one question about this Julia Hart promo. Did she go to the same place that Lee Johnson, her husband's been going to for promo skills? Because this was terrible.
This kind of feels like a bad early 90s music video. Not that any of you are old enough to know back in the day what bad early 90s music videos would be. But yeah, if you put like some dark acoustic song under this, it's just a bad music video.
It's like emo before emo. But the problem is that also Julia had many takes at this, and the lack of affectation in anything she said doesn't come off as creepy. It comes off as like unsure in a weird way, and not like a, like, I'm making the choice to be unsure. It's like, this is a lot of dialogue I have to do, and I probably was out too late with my other friends, Lexi and everyone else, having a good night, and I forgot that I had to do this and get set up, and then now they have to do the setup for all the flame effects, which is going to take 3 hours, and I don't feel like reading the script, so I'm just going to stand around and drink coffee and be personable, and then my husband comes over and says, you're fine, just don't emote, and it's great, you know.
You're fine, just don't emote. I don't know, man. Like this whole, what a, this just, it's a mess. Like, what are
all of the promos this tonight?
But for every moment I wanted to walk away, something would happen that would make me want to sit back down. Right?
Yeah, that even whole, that out maybe a little? Like 2 weeks ago where it was great all the way through? Like, seriously.
We had a 9. It's the first time I remember giving it a 9 ever.
Spoiler, and I'm not giving this a 9.
No, this is probably not a 9. And it was like, wow, how fast it just gear shifted and how they lost space to WWE so fast.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling.
They undercut themselves in less than 20 minutes. Just like this next match did, because the waste... Oh, my God. So this was Hook and Jericho and Shibata versus Anthony Ogogo and Shane Taylor Productions, Lee Moriarty included. There were a couple shining moments for me in this. Shibata and Lee Moriarty should have a match on their own. Those two work really well together. I enjoy that. The amount of people I wanted to go into a punch fight with Shibata and just get knocked out each time, like Shane Taylor and all them, would have been great. But you waste him and you waste everything else and you sacrifice Shibata for an argument between Hook and Jericho outside the ring?
But why? Why?
What does it do for anybody in this?
Chris Jericho misses a dropkick at the beginning of this, and what's his name? I just forgot his name. Oversells it to get to the corner.
Anthony Ogogo.
Anthony Ogogo. Like, just not even close.
No.
Just, oh, no. Oh, no. Like, to keep it going. Jericho was obviously in his head as well, but also Jericho not doing the things we know he used to do and can't do and making it look like,
Jericho has not accepted that his body is breaking down faster than he thought, and that he doesn't have he's not adapted his style again like he did even 10 years ago to accommodate for this.
He almost killed himself on that Hurricane Rana off the top. Like, no. But I don't know why bring Shibata in here just to play that game. That makes nonsense.
It really doesn't. And I like it, did you like, is Shibata the touchstone for Hook to get away from Jericho when he seems to know what he's in for? Like, that's the other part that doesn't make, like, why do you need motivation? You didn't need Shibata anywhere near this. You needed Hook to just basically see Jericho screw him over by inaction and not have any argument. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And then why Hook go in at the end and Shibata not just clean Hook's clock? Like, just destroy Hook. Why is Shibata okay with that?
We don't know. They cut to commercial at that point, so who knows?
Weird.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's a waste of Shane Taylor Productions and Anthony Ogogo, who are better on ROH and have better things in them, but also they can't carry those guys to a match because it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be what could have been a promo between the two of them backstage where they fall apart.
Sure.
And maybe more Shibata's, you know, Duolingo, which would have been great. But anyway.
I forgot how big Shane Taylor Productions were. Like, that dude's massive.
Shane is massive, and Lee Moriarty is actually pretty big, too.
Really?
Just like our next massive competitor, who Dustin Rhodes, cutting his promo because he didn't get his match beginning of the night, but he's going to be taking on Samoa Joe, and he's ready and raring to go, and kind of just like saying that he's got more to give, I guess, trying to figure out the reason why he could, like, I'm still here for a reason. That's why I couldn't be there at Cody's big moment, even though he was there, like, you know, all that good stuff. So I don't know. it's selling me Dustin Rhodes to try to give him some sort of credibility against Mojo. We know he's going to lose, so I don't know why we had that at all.
Some people really, really like this arc that he's been doing since the internet promo and then being there for my brother and then going for the title and Samojo says, I'll get you a shot. Some people really like it. Yeah. It's not working for me. It's falling kind of flat to me, partly because it just feels like Dustin's been misused or not quite met the mark for a while, but it's still there doing good work in the ring, but it's always been kind of off one way or another and the universe hasn't quite lined up for him for a while. He's also 54, 53
yeah,
and I'm not, and again, and we've talked about that here, age is different, but age treats everyone differently, right? So he's still pretty agile in the ring, he can still sell it some, but it's also like, where are you going, what are you doing?
You're taking a spot at this point that probably could be given to somebody else that needs to be pushed up farther. Like the nostalgia pop and that stuff is great, but you're a filler match and not even a jobber to the stars at this point. You're a trainer that you should be backstage, and I don't like saying that at all because I love Dustin Rhodes.
It's tough.
He should be going in the Hall of Fame somewhere, but that's about it.
Yes, I agree.
We then cut to, because the big thing was Okada is going to be in action tonight. We're going to have Okada running. And I got to say this on his entrance. I don't like the way he's like licking his lips now when he rubs the stupid title. Like it looks like he's doing something very terrible with it. But
strange, sexy time with the belt. Yeah.
Yeah. But he takes on a jobber in Cristiano Argentino. And, I have three notes. Air raid crash into neck breaker. Brutal. Awesome, awesome move. So the back thing there. Squash.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my notes.
You said
it was a three-move squash.
Oh, it was a three-move squash. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I said three. I didn't have three. I wish I had three. There weren't enough time for it.
Dude sold well. Rainmaker no sold well. And then It was over. I'm glad they gave... I love it when they give local talent a shot. That's always kind of makes me happy. Like, okay, great. You got your moment. Fantastic. But after that, I was like, yep, okay. I guess we're moving on.
You look at the other side of this. Like, is he not a workhorse? Like, Ospreay's having fight after fight after fight every week. Okada's won a title in 2 weeks in and then just hasn't done anything except call out Pac, who comes out. And we knew he was going to get beat up by the Bucks. That's apparently where a lot of the CM Punk chants were happening. Then FTR came out to then get them out. Didn't work out. Pac gets beat up. I was so worried he was going to get injured again because that always happens at random places for him because I want him to get to this match with Okada because it's going to be fun. But again, this was better for setting the rivalry up than the promo and the footage.
Yeah.
Was.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I'm watching this now just to remember.
Not illegally.
Okada hit him with that chair really flush.
Yep, he did.
And I just wanted to find that and remind myself of, dude, that guy just got back. Don't do that.
There's a translation error. He's used to Japanese chairs, obviously, so it's just different.
Oh, that's what it's the currency exchange and power.
Yeah,
like it's
centimeter
just
versus
much,
you know, inches. Yeah, it's
what I see. Yeah, when you transfer it into, that's probably why you got him.
Exactly why you got him. He just was too much. Yeah, too much range. Hey, Professor.
Yeah. Though,
you know those times when you feel like you might be running a little short? And you need to find that like that thing you've got in your back pocket that you recorded like 7 years ago that could really fill a part of a show, like in to give yourself time to change clothes, right? You know, like getting your next costume.
Oh, all the time. Yeah, that happens often.
That was this promo from the Batman Gang. This could have been put on any night. This was literally like, oh crap, we're running short. Get that promo on there because it did nothing. It set up nothing. It did nothing to further anything else. It was literally padding time.
Yeah. We have a bat spray painted gold. We'll use it for this one. Great. And they just kind of used this for some reason.
Woo!
The fact that we had this promo and not a women's match.
Yep. There was no women's match. There was one women's match at the card. And it wasn't even like anyone involved in our major storylines, which is even funnier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Again, no. Like, what is this Dynamite? What are we doing?
That is the tagline of this entire night. What is this Dynamite? And then, as you said, the question mark face. Oh,
hey, that just that whole brr thing.
Like, yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Let's move on to what I had hoped was going to be an amazing segment.
I really hoped this would be.
This was set up so well. We were having the champagne toast, the Charleston champagne toast of Toni Storm for Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa comes out, and she's already upset to be there. They do the cut screen thing, and Renee does a really good job for the most part not trying not to reach across and break the kayfabe there, but then does to get the champagne.
Kind of, yeah. And then it's trying to fill this awkward silence in between, right? Like, yeah. Okay, cool, awesome, okay,
he's
cool.
Actually pouring champagne, like, seriously. Okay. And Toni says nothing. She just attacks Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, throws the champagne in her face, attacks her.
Tries to take her paint off, doesn't get it off, basically turns her into a putty from Power Rangers. Just hit her in the chest, hit her in the chest, it'll blow apart. And proceeds to beat her down until Deonna Purrazzo shows up, where she's kind of half invested in doing it, but not.
And then, but then Thunder Rosa's mad at Deonna Purrazzo for coming out.
Yes.
So Deonna Purrazzo
looks like she wanna be there.
Mad at them both. Why didn't Deonna Purrazzo just beat the hell out of Luther? That would have been a great time to just power slam Luther into a table.
Through the table.
That would have been great.
Right through the table. Deonna seemed like she was, on her face it read, okay, now you've got to go out and save the baby face because we're telling to you back here, Gorilla's sending you out there. You got to go. It's your cue. I don't want to be, just get out there. Again, what is this dynamite?
What you wasted Toni Storm.
It kind of. I mean, she did get to say hi to Mariah May as she came in, and like
she does give, she gives that awkward cheek kissy thing, sure,
which comes back to bite her in the butt. Anyway,
yeah.
But we transition away from that. Toni walks off. This was an awkward thing. Everything's clean up. Mariah May comes out for her match with Anna Jay, and on paper I was like, oh, this might be a pretty good match. I don't know what's going to be. John, this was my match of the night.
Yeah, sure.
This was my match of the night. These two, I realized halfway through, have worked Joshi style for the last month.
Uh-huh.
And it came out here, and they continued that bit, and they switched. Like, Mariah May is ostensibly the heel in this match. Anna Jay is the face. And she and Anna Jay went full heel by the end of this. This was not like, yes, Austin Brett turn, but this was a turn.
Yeah.
And the two of them worked so well together. It was brutally hard, but also weirdly overtly sexual in certain ways. And it kept going
yeah, overtly sexual.
Right.
It never stopped. You have the whole chopping contest at the top, for lack of a better term.
The hands, and yeah.
And it's funny that Mariah May's chops are echoing throughout the arena, but Anna Jay's chops are thumping into her chest.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's not good. They were winging these shots. Like, I thought they were going to throw out an elbow or a shoulder, some of these things that they were thrown at each other. And I loved watching them work together. This was super fun. This is what should have started Dynamite.
Would have been great.
Yeah, I don't always pick matches of the night. I try to avoid it a little bit because I don't want to think that way. Absolutely.
You're non-committal. We get it. Your wife has said so much. Anyways, it's what it is.
I'm a Libra. I'm a permanent sub.
Well, but the nice part is with this, because there was only one women's match, you're balancing it by making it match of the night.
Yes. Thank you. Can I get out of the closet now?
Unless you need to. If you want to, that's fine. I've been out here for years. Your choice is valid. You do what you need. But join us out here. It's very nice.
Beautiful shots. This is obviously a match of the night thing. We went full. This was match of the night. This was great. I can watch this over and over again. That neck breaker to the ropes, like that looked like it hurt. And then taking that moment to look at the audience, like, oh, that was so much fun.
The drop kick off the ropes right to her chest, which was
beautiful. Yes.
The axe kick or the viper kick by Anna Jay, twisting her arm to do that, was flush. And then I loved the whole difference of Mariah May spreading Anna Jay's hair out of the way so she can lick her hands and slap the crap out of her. But Mariah ends up getting a roll-up win off of what could have been like either a Code Red or a Hurricane Rana.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Jay's pissed. Mariah's surprised. Anna Jay puts her in the Queen Slayer, and Mia Shirakawa comes down, her tag team partner from Joshi, who's also been on AEW a bunch, to save her there. find random champagne glasses, revive her with, it was really water, you could see, but water in the champagne glasses, and then full on kiss her, like right there in the middle of the ring. I'm like, excuse me, Mia, are you Saraya? Do you do this to people? Has Saraya been passing this down to other people? Because Saraya and Tony kissed, and now Tony and you kiss, so now you and Mariah kiss. Like, it's just like, it's all over the place.
I mean, this was that borderline Attitude Era, Divas Era type stuff, right? Where we're just going to be edgy and do oddly erotic things out of context.
Are you comparing this to Mickey James and Trish?
But like, it's not quite a lingerie or bra and panties match, but no, it's definitely,
they actually
like,
worked,
wait,
the match.
What is happening? Yeah, they worked the match. Like, they actually rocked each other and did everything else. So I don't know.
God,
are we competing with WWE in a different way now? Are we, what are we trying to do? Why are we trying to up it this way?
It's scatterbrained and not doing anything. And my voice just cracked there. So that's even better. Professor, remember how I talked about that filler stuff we did with the Bang Bang Gang? How like it's that thing that like isn't rehearsed. It wasn't the greatest take, but you have to stick it in there to make it work.
Yes.
The heck was this? Mercedes, one, Mercedes is pre-taped doing an interview. She's better live. Two, why is Alex Marvez getting the interview? The worst interviewer you have. And three, was Mercedes reading off a card like a bad SNL host? What was with that delivery?
What was this? Why do this at all? I don't know why Marvez has a job here. I'm not
the
sure.
If he's friends with the Bucks.
Okay. Get better at this. Make more friends.
He's been there since day one of AEW. He's had five years to get better. He's not better.
I know. And it's, you know, guys like me would, I would quit my job at a state school with insurance to do what he does.
I would quit my job to sit in the room and watch you do that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what they're paying you. Pay me half. I'll quit my job and go do that. What? Just to be lifeless and not.
And
it
he's
almost
lifeless.
Like he doesn't enjoy it. He's almost sort of like, yeah, and I'm here because they told me to. Great. And
my brother's got me this job. I put the suit on from Goodwill and I feel like I should be here. No. And then Mercedes matches that energy with the same energy. She was bland. She was didn't. Totally like, I've said this 600 times. Why are you even sitting down for an interview? I've got a plan. Yeah. I'm the CEO.
Didn't make her look great. And that's unfortunate because she had so much momentum coming into this. It's almost like this is another, there were a few moments in this Dynamite where it was sort of, let's make the choice that makes it worse. Like, let's choose the wrong choice every time and see what happens if we choose. The right choice is obviously this. Well, let's do the opposite just to see what happens. Like, what are you doing?
It's like the bookers watched Magic School Bus all week and were like, oh, we can get messy, make mistakes. It's okay. Let's do that.
All right, everybody, let's go. What's that? Yeah. That's all I'm picturing now is them swimming through Alex Marvez and going, I don't care about any of this. Me neither. Should we tell him? No, it'll stop growing eventually. Like, what are we doing?
Look at his partially black carotid artery. I'm sure he's going to have a stroke soon. Anyway.
He's going to have to drive around that. Drive around it. We can't. Oh, no, we have to save Alex Marvez.
And then they got stuck because the lights went out and there was a bunch of like Foley punching sound because they couldn't afford to bring Julia Hart to this hotel that Mercedes is in. And she's knocked out. As if like are you setting up a mystery of who hit her? You had the lights go out. It wasn't Willow. Willow would have showed up in the daytime. Because, you know, nightingales, I mean, night's in the name, but birds don't sing until it's the day. Anyhow, that's a whole different topic. That's what we're talking about, aviary stuff. No, this is definitely a Julia Hart setup because she mentioned her name and it was the worst in the dark, like fill in your own blanks beat up. And she's on
so
the ground.
Are they making promos just vague and in the can so they can use them anytime?
I think these were all preset. Like, oh gosh, we are totally running late. I don't want to schedule another women's match. Let's just throw these on.
Let's shoot five or six promos that we always have that we could use at any time. And we just don't mention anybody. Yeah. And we'll just throw them out there every now and then.
Hey, Alex, you have that suit from high school, right? Can you wear that and come in here? My nephew wants to shoot a couple things and learn to do After Effects. Is that okay? Like, this is just a student project.
But like, how many now I'm wondering how many folks didn't want to be on this Dynamite, or how many folks didn't want to shoot the promo, or knew it was coming, or booked their way out of it.
Or in general knew that no matter what they said, it was going to be overshadowed. So what's the point?
Because, yeah, I don't know. So odd. Because she's so much better on the mic and in those promos. And something about it just not worth it.
Not at all. Kind of like our final match of the evening. I was not a fan of this match.
Man.
This was a classic Dustin Rhodes match against Samoa Joe. He bleeds in the first 5 minutes. It's then built around Joe being a meanie and pulling open his head so he bleeds more.
Right.
Him having hope spots that don't really go anywhere, and Joe brutalizing a man in his 50s. Like, it wasn't worth it.
I wasn't entertained. I'm not sure why Dustin called this shot, and I'm not sure why it was entertained when he did. Because this is not a title match. This was an elimination thing, right? That's kind of what we were building into.
Yeah.
Dustin breaks open, bleeds a lot. Samoa Joe looks violent in the end. This could have been anybody.
Yeah.
It didn't showcase anything Dustin was going for. He kind of got the crowd over in a few moments. And it breaks my heart to say this. I don't know how much of it was the crowd was over, or how much of it was the crowd like, okay, it is Dustin. All right, man. Okay, right, and like going with it because the history of that guy and that family, and you know, you represent something that we still kind of love somewhere.
It was the same reaction Sting was getting until he said he was retiring. Is that we're glad you're here. We don't know if this is the last time we'll see you. We're pleased you're here. We're politely saying thank you for doing the work.
Yeah. He throws a Canadian story. He does the on to his dad, which he's added the fingers to, which I guess is okay. But then he misses with the elbow.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's
like you can't double bird and then miss. Come on. I don't know. I'll say this. Ever since the Dark Side of the Ring on the airplane ride from hell,
yeah,
I can't not see him as a blubbering junk singing into a telephone.
Toward his ex-wife.
And that's mean and it's awful and I don't like saying that and karma will get me. But what are we doing? Again, just like the last promo. Like, you know what's a good decision? What? Not doing this. You know what I think? We should put him out there with Samoa Joe. For the title? No, that would be a good idea. No title.
But
okay,
he does get the main event.
Was that what it was in the end? It's like, I got to main event Dynamite.
No, that I don't think that was like, even it either. You're not even putting over younger talent by losing to him. You're putting over Samoa Joe. Who's
and then he goes to cheat. He gets the belt. He comes in to cheat, right? And the ref talks him out of it. And in that split second where the belt isn't being watched, Samoa Joe gets him. But why though? Like, all of this is just so odd.
Yeah. It was a downer on a downer night. And then we had, you know, obviously Swerve come in and two of them kind of face on.
Swerve is here. Yeah. And the crowd is just meh. They're just not into it by the end of this.
They got behind Swerve a bit and Swerve pulled them back. And even him with that shot with the title itself was beautiful.
Sure.
But he couldn't pull it out of the fire. And Joe basically having an aneurysm on the ramp about it was even funnier, but still. It just
yeah.
Joe was the reaction all of us had to the side on it. It's like, oh God, why did I watch this? So, Professor, obviously, this is not going to be a 9, but on your empanada scale, where are you putting this tonight?
I don't know. Can we go fractions of numbers?
Yes, go fractions. Go as many fractals as you want.
Can we go 0.9? I don't know if it's gone that far. I don't know if it goes that far, but man, the fact that. Let's put this in a greater context. This is after WrestleMania, which if you watched our reviews and we talked about I know it's another promotion, we're here on Dynamite. Even the things that we had to say about that, watching that fairly, and you know, still ending on a high for the most part, we can nitpick here and there, but like WrestleMania, we all love wrestling, we're all here for this, we had a week of all these things, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this was the Dynamite that you had time to put out there? this was the shots fired episode that you planned from the beginning. This was the let's show them we're still here episode. And this is what you put out there?
Your shots fired episode was 2 weeks ago when we had a 9.
Yeah. Man. So I'm somewhere in 4 land.
Jeez.
Like, I was just, nah. Like, what are we doing? We like to do the hyperbole thing of like, I could have booked a better and they should hire me. I could have done that.
I could have made all these mistakes really easily.
As performers, as wrestlers, they're still professionals. Nobody got hurt. There were no botches. I kind of reserved the lower end for like, this was reckless. This was this was that. But in a way, this was reckless in a sort of, you just crapped all over your own product.
Whoever made the decision to put that stuff out there actively cut the knees out under all of their performers to have an even decent show.
Yeah. I'll go up a little higher in like 4.5 because I did like the Ospreay energy and what Ospreay standing up for himself and taking a big shot on his own for the guys in the back, it felt like. So I could see that and bump a little. Commentary being uninspired and then sort of having their wind knocked out of them by that CM Punk Jack Perry tape. The fact that everyone seemed heady, the fact that Adam Copeland couldn't quite get there was just disappointing. And maybe it's me because I'm hurt. But yeah, I'm down in 4 and 4.5 land. A huge swing from just 2 weeks ago.
Here's what I'll say, because I wanted to dive into everything else he went into. If we didn't have the forced FTR and Bucks promos with the actual footage, this is a 5.56. It's not a bad Dynamite. It had problems, but it was on par with like their average. It was an average Dynamite.
I would agree with you. Yeah. Maybe I just wanted so much more because last time I was here, it was a 9, so I'm biased. Yeah.
Well, and even with that, though, I'm saying I would have been less upset about that, too. I could understand coming off the hangover the weekend. It's like everyone's whatever it is. The fact this pettiness got put into it, the fact that it was shoehorned into a storyline that didn't need to be, and you forced folks to figure out how to connect that because you felt the need to have a measuring contest with another promotion. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't even the promotion going after you. It was a former employee who felt slighted. That drops it to a 3. This was a 3 empanada show because personal politics, yeah, if it's done right in certain respects, can be interesting, like with Ospreay. But this is just petty childishness that is like high-end Vince Russo, high-end Eric Bischoff. Yeah. Like,
which these mistakes have been made. High-end Vince Russo. like, wait, what?
Well, it's because Sue wasn't put on a pole yet, so we don't know what's going on. Sure. But
we didn't do a brawl for all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're only backstage. But
goodness.
When you're there and the thing of the whole night, these mistakes have already been made. You have the tape to look at.
Yeah.
The heck is going on? So
the time
final thing for us. Yeah.
The time.
What is this Dynamite?
What is it? What is this Dynamite? It's a 4.5. It's a 3. The time to handle this was 4 months ago. And go,
when it happened.
Hey, everyone's talking about it. Here's the tape. Make a decision. We're going to move on. And then CM Punk would have had nowhere to go. Instead, you let him go quickly. You didn't bury it in any way. And you gave him the leverage to use later when your competition picked him up. They played you. And you let them.
This is the biggest like kind of between the two of them of an older sibling saying, you won't shoot yourself in the foot. You wouldn't do that. That would be stupid. You're right. I wouldn't. Bam, bam, bam. I did it 3 times because I'm smart.
Now you're going to really get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You see how much trouble you're in for letting me shoot myself in the foot 3 times?
See, I don't have to listen to you. I do what I want. Shoot myself in the foot.
I'm going to walk funny the rest of my life, but you're going to be in so much trouble. Like, oh, God.
I'm going to walk like Shawn Michaels in the end of his career.
Oh.
And on that lovely note, we're going to leave you, BC WrestlePod fam. This has been a longer one because, again, we were going to delve into that footage pretty deeply like everyone else. But, Professor, I feel like we got to the bottom of things. We got our little jabs in there. We went tangent a bit. And honestly, I loved doing this with you because I love your insight. I love your thought process on this. And as much as I miss Mikey, I enjoy doing this with you as well.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I love seeing you too. It's great. Yeah, it's nice speaking this language and knowing what we're talking about as we riff on this. Yeah.
All four of us do, because the two people on here that are fans that actually know that stuff is great too. But
absolutely.
For all of you that have joined us tonight and joined the BC WrestlePod fan for the first time, thank you for being here. For all of you that have been long runners and been with us for a while, we love you and we are so appreciative you're here with us, because we're all Biconic here. All of us. You, me, Professor. And we'll see you in the next video.
Just friggin', wow, poor Renee is just sitting there like that awkward cousin. Like, wow, you just said that in front of my mom. Don't do that. Like, you know,
I still like you, but like, can you like take it down a couple notches, cousin Billy? Yeah, like, you know,
we can't flirt in front of our parents. It's weird. Not that.
And on that thought, we'll start a recording right now.
You did it again. No.
It's a running bit now. Mike, you'll be so proud of me.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.